Good afternoon, and thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio at 89.1 FM on the dial and streaming worldwide at www.lakeshorepublicradio.org. This is Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. My name is Tom Lounges. I'm your host. And for the next hour or so, we will be talking with a gentleman by the name of Stefan Harris. He is the band leader of Blackout. He is an exceptional vibraphonist. In fact, his latest album has been all over the top of the charts for 2018 in the jazz world. The 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival starts on Monday, April 1st, and runs through Friday, April 5th. Stefan will be the closing headliner on the 5th, along with our very own Marco Villarreal Quartet. So let's get into talking with Stefan in just a moment. But first, let's play a tune. Let the music do the talking. Here's a little number called the Cape Verdean Blues. This is Blackout, featuring Stefan Harris. We'll be back with Stefan after this. Aberdeen Blues. That is off the new album Sonic Creed from Blackout, featuring Stefan Harris, the band leader, vibraphonist. He's also the headliner on Friday, August 5th at the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Fest. Stefan is on the phone with us now. Welcome, Stefan. How are you doing?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very good. Well, you're coming to the Valpo University Jazz Festival. So let's start with your brand new album, which is Sonic Creed, that you did with your group Blackout. As I understand, named Jazz Album of the Year. Reflecting back on all that, what's it like to be recognized for that particular album?
Well, the thing about making a record is that it's very, very unpredictable. You can prepare as much as you like, but the bottom line is what comes out is what's available to you that day while you're in the studio. So the fact that we put our heart and soul into making this record and to have audiences all around the world receive it the way that they did, it's just been so incredibly gratifying and humbling. So it's been an amazing journey so far, and it continues. We're still touring all around the world, and that album was number one in radio for 8 weeks in a row, and
wow,
it's been on the charts for top 10 for 18 weeks in a row, so it's pretty amazing.
Now, a lot of jazz artists that I know usually will take the songs out on the road and let them breathe and live for a while before they go in the studio with them. How do you record? Do you write and record first and then take it out? Do you road test things for a while before you lay them down in the studio?
Well, I always say if you use the same method all the time, you'll probably get the same results, which is not always desirable.
Right.
I don't do things the same way all the time. A bunch of the music that's on this record is music that we have played on the road before. But some of the music, in terms of the way that we presented it, happened spontaneously in the studio that day. And at least two of the pieces that I can think of offhand, I wrote and arranged maybe two or three days before we went in the studio.
Wow, which ones
so
were those?
Kind of an interesting mixture. Well, Chasing Kendall, which is the original piece from my two young sons, and the arrangement of That There, which is something that I had in my head for a while and just didn't get around to actually writing until a couple of days before we went in to make the record.
Well, let's play it. That There, off Sonic Creed. More with Stefan Harris after this. That's Stefan Harris and Blackout. A song called Dat Dare. It's off Sonic Creed, their latest album, an award-winning, chart-topping release. Stefan Harris is bringing the band to Valparaiso, Indiana, as the headliner on Friday, April 5th, at the 34th Annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival.
Blackout is the band. Is it consistently the same members, or is it an evolving lineup?
Well, for the most part, it's Terrion Gully and Casey Benjamin and Mark Carey. They've been original members since the band started. And then on the bass, we have Ben Williams, and sometimes we will have Bernice Travis. So the bass chair fluctuates a little bit. But for the most part, Blackout is a concept about how we approach music in a way that's very liberated and culturally articulated. So it's not necessarily about each individual, although all of us play a very specific role. If someone can't be there, the vibe and intention of the band is still present.
Okay. Speaking of concepts, I understand that Sonic Creed basically is a thematic album reflecting on the state of life for African Americans over the last several decades, end of last century, beginning of this, which of course is extremely topical given in the times we live in. Explain the concept of that a little bit, is how this all came about.
Well, I call the album Sonic Creed because I think it's important to make music that's about something that we believe in. And for me, I've seen a lot of music that is just about creativity, which doesn't always directly connect to the ambitions of our communities. I wanted to make a piece of music that was a reflection of my life experience and, by extension, the experiences of my mother and father and cousins and brothers and sisters. So each of the pieces of music on the album is directly connected to a real life experience, including the pieces that are in tribute to some of the people who have moved on. So Abby Lincoln, for example, it's not just that I love Abby Lincoln as an artist and a thought leader, it's that I was able to spend some time with her, and I learned a lot from the time that I did get to spend with her. Bobby Hutcherson was a phenomenal mentor for me. I was able to hang out in the studio with him, and every time he came to town, I was there trying to learn as much as I could, and he would spend time with me, and even his wife. They were so incredibly generous. So I wanted to pay tribute to our ancestors, but in a way that they would be proud of. Meaning, I didn't just imitate their music. Mm-hmm. We sort of took the influence of what they left in the world, but we made sure that we did it in our own way, in a way that everyone, it's not just about relating to it, but it's more that everyone sees a reflection of themselves in the art that we create.
You mentioned that your two young sons were involved with the Chase and Kendall song. Tell me about that song.
So their middle names are Chase and Kendall.
Makes sense.
So it's a bit of a play on words. But, you know, I grew up in upstate New York, and we would have backyard parties where all of our family would come together, and they would be playing Marvin Gaye and Donny Hathaway and all this soul music, the Temptations. And I always remember the power of music to bring us together, and everyone would start dancing. It's just such a powerful memory of joy and empathy and compassion that's embedded in my heart. And a part of what I always remember from the music was this sort of repeated bass line that was infectious. It was so soulful when I think of the Temptations or Donny Hathaway's music. So in writing that piece of music, I wanted to create something that captured the joy and celebration of family. So I started with a bass line, and then allow the bass line to tell me what the melody should be and what the groove should be. So it unfolded in that way.
How old are your sons?
They're now 10 and 6.
Are they following in your footsteps, musically speaking?
They are both taking piano lessons now, and they both absolutely love music. My 10-year-old also loves science, and so I'm trying to expose them to all types of things and just find what their passion is along the way. But they both have a... bigger than music, they both are confident, and they have a beautiful way that they express themselves in this world. And I love the opportunity to give them music as one particular platform to sing their truths in this world. Thank you.
Chasing Kendall, a song inspired by his two boys, Chase and Kendall. There you go. Stephon Harris is my guest today on Midwest Beats here on Lakeshore Public Radio. Stephon will be bringing his group Blackout to headline and close out the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival on April 5th.
What drew you to music and at what age?
It's hard to put my finger on it. I absolutely love music, and I always have. I was that kid who could put on Stevie Wonder's Songs in the Key of Life and play it over and over 100 times, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I just dreamed of music. I remember just watching cartoons, and I would be paying attention to the music, not what was actually happening in the cartoon. Mm. Right, so I think I always had something in me that was drawn to music. My grandfather, his name was Pee Wee Harris. He was an iconic African-American DJ in upstate New York. He was the first African-American DJ to bring R&B music and gospel music to many of the radio waves in upstate New York. So there's something in my family. But I'll tell you, it's not just the spiritual component, the emotional component of music. I genuinely love the science of music. I mean, it's this incredible invention that our species has stumbled upon. We've basically taken vibrations and figured out how to organize them into an emotion in order to connect with others and to bring people together. And for me, to dive deep and to gain a deeper understanding of that science is so inspiring. And then to take it the next step and to share it with others through an educational platform, that's just been a dream of mine. I absolutely love teaching.
We see so much of the arts disappearing from the public school systems in favor of the sports. And nothing against sports, but the arts seem to be dying. How important was the public school system, if you went to public school, in creating who you are today and the reason we're talking today?
Well, I did go to public school, and one of the benefits was that I did get exposure to music. I was provided an instrument when I was in the fourth grade, and I was able to be challenged through the arts. So I'm eternally grateful for that exposure. When we look at the development of our greater society, particularly around technology, algorithms are getting so good in certain areas that there's no way we're going to be able to compete as a species. Really, when you look at the concept of knowledge and information, there's no individual on the planet who's more knowledgeable than Google, right?
Right.
Really, I want my doctor to Google it. I don't want it coming from their memory, right?
Right.
Where we are unique from software, at least at this point, it has much more to do with intuition. It has much more to do with insight. And when you look at which sciences help develop and amplify the human being's ability to perceive the world, most of them are centered around creative arts. So if you're going to create the next generation of great thinkers, great innovators, regardless of whether they're lawyers or businessmen or musicians, you have to create a curriculum that is centered around challenging them to perceive a rapidly changing environment and synthesize disparate information. That doesn't happen in every field of study. So for me, the arts are important in a way that has very little to do with just creating music. Music for the sake of music, I'm actually not an advocate of that concept. I don't think anyone owes me anything because I play the vibraphone well. Mm-hmm. Just like a janitor, just like a cook, just like a politician, my job is to be of service to society, and I need to be clear on what my role is. So in the long run, I think part of what I'm imbued with the responsibility of doing is to spread the concept of empathy, teaching people how to listen to one another. And in the arts, particularly around jazz and improvisation, we focus on the science of understanding others. Before we play a single note, we spend the majority of our practice time on ear training, trying to understand the context in which we hope to contribute an idea. And that's just such an important lesson for how we're going to figure out how to come together to solve these big problems that we face as a species. The world is getting smaller and smaller, and all these disparate cultures are coming together, and we're going to need people who are extremely perceptive visionaries who can see the connections between these disparate cultures and highlight that so that we can come together to solve the far more pressing issues than the minute differences between us.
Mm-hmm. You are an educator. I know you teach in New York. Are you tied to a certain college?
I am. I'm the associate dean and director of the jazz arts department at the Manhattan School of Music. And over the years, I've been the director of jazz education at the New Jersey Performing Arts Center. I've taught at NYU and Rutgers, the Brubeck Institute, the Monk Institute.
Wow.
So education is it's in my blood. I absolutely love it. Like, my favorite thing is when a student asks me a question and I don't have the answer.
Does that happen often?
I will see. It happens often enough to keep me hungry. Right? So I'm okay. Like, I will see you next week with an answer, and I will not sleep until I find that answer. So I absolutely love it. It keeps me young, and there's nothing more beautiful and inspiring than helping to unlock potential in others. So I'm just internally grateful.
You're giving a master class, a public master class, prior to your VU Jazz Fest performance here. Now, you won't have a lot of time. So what are the points that you really want to make to the students that come to listen to you speak?
Well, the most central point that I try to make in every presentation that I do is always centered around empathy.
Okay.
My ambition is about the proliferation of empathy through the arts. So many times when I'm speaking with musicians, I will generally talk about ear training, about how to understand other people around you before you actually try to play a note, before you try to contribute an idea. And then when I have my ensemble with me, I tend to do demonstrations on how limiting one individual's perspective is in isolation, but how if you take your ideas and you understand how to sit it in the context of what others are creating around you, you can create something that is far more beautiful than any one individual could create on their own. So these are the types of messages that I hope we amplify through the art that we create. We want to talk about community. We want to talk about bringing people together to be unified and really address the most pressing challenges that we face as a species right now.
My guest today is Stefan Harris of the group Blackout. They'll be headlining the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival. And that was a little song called Go. It's off his latest album, Sonic Creed, which has topped the charts throughout 2018. Stefan Harris is considered one of the finest vibraphonists of the modern age in jazz.
Vibraphone, a unique instrument of choice. Usually not the first go-to for most musicians. Red Norvo, Lionel Hampton, Milt Jackson, these guys were masters, early masters of it. You have certainly carried on. You're perhaps the brightest star with the vibraphone at this point in history in jazz. What made you choose the vibraphone?
You know, instruments, I don't know if it's a choice. You just sort of gravitate to a certain instrument that is ultimately the best tool to articulate your spirit and your ambitions. So for me, as a child, I actually taught myself to read music when I was 6 years old at the piano. So when I went to elementary school in about fourth grade is when they start to give out the instruments. Because I could already read music, I was more advanced than the other kids. So my teachers would just keep giving me different instruments. So by the time I was in eighth grade, I played 24 instruments. Clarinet, French horn, string bass, flute.
Wow.
So I just loved music. So how did I end up playing the vibraphone? It was really, it was just one of those things where I think I was a pretty good clarinetist, but there was something about when I stepped to the marimba for the first time, which is a relative of the vibraphone, of course, I just felt connected. It seemed seamless to me. It was very, I don't want to say it was easy because it takes years to learn how to play that thing, but I felt not only a connection to the sound, but a physical connection to the instrument. So for me, I was an athlete too. I was a wrestler coming up. And so it's a very physical sport. And playing the vibraphone, I love that you're standing. You literally dance when you play the vibraphone. And it's very visual. So when the mallets are going up and down, it's not just that the audience hears the music. They actually watch the music being painted. So I love all of those elements, the subtlety, the nuance that you can get out of the vibraphone. And the fact that you're not forced to stand in one position, you literally can dance. It just feels like the perfect instrument for me. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I'd say about it is I love the supportive nature of the vibraphone. It's an instrument that is sort of warm and washy. It sort of surrounds the other instruments, right, and supports them. And that's kind of my nature. I'm an educator, so I love to help other people. So the vibraphone, for me, it's perfect. It's nothing against the trumpet, but the trumpet has different ability. It's an instrument that's usually at the forefront and pushing. That's not really my nature. I kind of like being an observer and figuring out how to help other people.
Do you still pick up the other instruments from time to time to keep your chops up?
Not the wind instruments, but probably 90% of the time that I spend studying music is at the piano. Not the vibraphone, ironically.
Okay. So when you compose music, what is the... I know you said you don't like to do the same formula each time. Do you write on the road? Do you write at home? What inspires you? And once you get inspired, how easy is it for the songs to come together?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know if it's ever easy.
Okay.
For me, I find that I can't multitask. I don't believe in multitask. I have about five jobs and I still somehow manage not to multitask and get everything done that I need to get done. So writing music for me takes a very creative, spiritual, and emotional state of existence. So anything like practicing, for me, it cannot coincide with writing. So if I decide that I need to go into a period of writing, I will stop practicing altogether. Because practicing tends to be highly repetitive. And to hear the same thing over and over again, it tends to clip my creativity. So that's one thing that I'm pretty consistent with, is that I'll stop playing the vibraphone altogether when it's time to write music. I don't want to do anything that's repetitive. But aside from that, it's really about being perceptive of what's available to you in that moment. And I find that really with writing, you need one or two small gems. And once you get one or two little beautiful things, you just start to listen to them and they tell you what they need to grow. So writing for me is less of a creative process than it is a process of perception. It's really listening and developing your ears so that you can hear what's necessary to bring that piece of music forward.
Going back to the Sonic Creed album once again, this one's called Gone Too Soon. And before you know it, we'll be gone because the show will be coming to a close. But not before we get to some more music and some more conversation with my guest today, Stefan Harris of Blackout.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Lounges. You're listening to Midwest Beats here on Lakeshore Public Radio. My guest today, Stefan Harris, band leader, vibraphonist, and closing guest at the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival. That's starting on Monday, April 1st, and going through April 5th, when Stefan and his group Blackout will be closing the show. Stefan,
jazz is a very structured music, even though a lot of people perceive it as kind of all over the map because of the improvisation that goes along with the live performances. When you're on stage and you've got a structured song, but you want to have fun with it, you want to let it live and breathe, and you're playing with other musicians, how do you let it go and explore and grow and then pull it back together? That's always amazed me.
Well, I can tell you, it is only fun after a lot of hard work.
Okay.
The freedom that you have in improvisation only comes after years and years of working on the fundamentals and the details. It's like you spend years developing tools so that when something unpredictable happens, you have the tools in your kit in order to react to it. So it actually is very, very structured and disciplined in terms of how you go about becoming prepared to be an improviser. But all of that hard work and a lot of this repetition, small things, when you get on stage, ideally you let that go and you learn to start to rely on your ear. Because what is the point of playing music? Now, everyone can have different approaches, but for me, it is ultimately about connections. It is about empathy. So if I'm focused on connections, it has to be about my ear, not about what I think, not about what it is that I can play in that moment. It's about what's available. Mm-hmm. So when you have a lot of tools in your kit, you feel more and more relaxed, you let go, and the whole concept is to find touch points to come together and surprise one another. And the other, another great element of jazz is I think we actually look for failure too, which is beautiful, right? Because you can't actually come together unless you fall apart. So we take chances and push ourselves beyond what we know we're capable of, and then we scramble to find a way to come together. And when we do come together, that's when you see the musicians laughing and smiling at one another because we can't believe that we got our way out of that mess.
I like that. You guys always seem to do it, though. Every time I watch a really good group get together, and it just it seems to be like going all over the map, like I said, and then suddenly it just comes back together, and it ends on a perfect mark, and it's just so smooth. I'm into the bebop and the post-bop stuff a lot, but Miles Davis is one of those guys that always reinvented himself. And from what I've heard of your music, two albums really aren't the same. You're constantly on an evolutionary path with your music. It seems like it'd be so easy to fall back into, say, a formula where, well, that album was successful, like Sonic Creed. It's tremendously successful. How are you going to follow that up?
I have no idea. I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned Miles because he's certainly one of my most important influences in terms of leadership. He, to me, is probably the greatest leader in the history of jazz because he understood how to bring together brilliant human beings who most people would think don't belong together. Mm-hmm. He brought them together, created a beautiful platform for that edge, for things to go wrong and for people to express their authentic self, and he just created imagination and structure around it. I think his music always had the intention of amplifying the voices of modern times, of the communities that he lived in, that he experienced in his lifetime. And for me, that is the ultimate purpose of art across the centuries. I don't think of art as being just for entertainment. Mm-hmm. I mean, art is important because 500 years from now, future civilizations are going to be looking back at how we lived our lives on this planet. Not because we're so special or we're so interesting. They're going to want to know something about themselves. They want to know how they got to where they got, the same reason we look back to ancient hieroglyphics. And many times, these future civilizations are going to be looking back to the artists and the writers because our job is to document the world that we see around us. And Miles Davis did that better than anyone. Yeah, and constantly evolved.
When you listen to like Kind of Blue and then you go to Bitches Brew and then you go to Doobop, I mean, you'd never know it was the same artist. And I understand what you're saying, and it's kind of interesting the way you put it about living in the moment of when you're living, when you're creating. Because Doo-Bop was the first jazz album that I know that incorporated the whole hip-hop rap kind of thing, and it set the bar super high.
That's right.
Just like Bitches Brew did.
Yeah, and I don't think it's about genre. That genre is about the commodification of art, so that it can be monetized.
Right.
But art doesn't have a category. Art will always evolve because evolution is a natural part of our existence. So it's difficult to... We can come up with categories, and I don't think that they're necessarily a bad thing, but I don't think that you can hold on to a category and expect it to remain the same over long periods of time. And the greatest artists throughout history were genre benders because they never forced themselves to be relegated to one category. I mean, Duke Ellington is another classic example of someone who evolved throughout his entire life. I mean, Louis Armstrong evolved throughout most of his life and his artistic output. So most of the icons are visionaries. That's the thing. I think I like to use the term sonic griots. Right? They're the storytellers.
Yes.
They walk around the world and they take what they see, what they experience, and put it into organized sound. Thank you.
Summertime Lounges, you're listening to Midwest Beats here on Lakeshore Public Radio. My guest today, Stefan Harris, band leader, vibraphonist, and closing guest at the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival that's starting on Monday, April 1st, and going through April 5th, when Stefan and his group Blackout will be closing the show. Stefan,
Sonic Creed is the new album. It's exploding everywhere, as we've covered. What will you be playing when you get to VU for the April 5th Jazz Festival and your headline performance? Obviously, you're very proud of this new album. Are you going to be playing the album in its entirety? Are you going to span your career? Are you going to try some new stuff out? What are you going to bring to us?
The cool thing about Blackout as a band, we've been together for a long time. So we play music from the current record. We play music from previous records. And sometimes we just make up music on the spot.
Okay.
So there's that element of unpredictability that's always present. But we will definitely be playing some of the music from the new record, but the entire show will not likely be composed of music from the new record.
All right.
That's the funny thing. Sometimes there's a joke among the guys. We're backstage, and sometimes I'll say, hey, why don't we try this song, and this song, and the guys all just laugh, because whenever we walk out on stage, we never follow a set list. We just go wherever the music goes, so it's kind of pointless to overplan. We've learned that over the years.
Being on the road as long as you are, when do you foresee working on the next album, the follow-up to Sonic Creed?
Well, you know, it depends on how we think about working on an album. So, for me, working on an album is living life. Right, the album is just the sonic manifestation of the life that is lived. So I feel like every day of my life I'm working on my new album. When I take my kids to their sporting events and I travel and I have new experiences in life, I'm always preparing for the next album. And that next album will come when I feel like the only way that I can say what's on my heart is through music. I'm not someone who will release albums every year, most likely. It's only when I feel like I have something that needs to be said. And, you know, one of the standards I hold for myself is I ask myself the question, if I don't make this record, will the sound of this music still exist in the world? And if the answer is yes, then there's no need for me to make the record. Okay. But if I have something that I feel is unique and important, then I'll go ahead and make that album.
As an educator, as a lifelong musician, what is the most important piece of advice that was passed on to you that you feel obligated to pass on to your students? What has been a valuable lesson that you learned that you strive to pass on?
Wow, that's another great question. And that's a tough one because I've gotten a lot of good advice over the years. But I'll tell you, my favorite bit of advice as a musician came from Bobby Hutcherson. And he would say it to me almost every time we said goodbye. He would always look at me, put his hand on my shoulder, and he'd say, family first. So that's an interesting thing, right? Because musicians who become successful, a lot of times you're on tour a lot and you're away from home. And there are decisions that you need to make in terms of how much time you're going to be at home versus being on the road. And I love that Bobby always stressed to me that it's more important to be a strong man, to raise your children, be there for your family and your wife, and the music will reflect that ambition, and the music will reflect that beauty that you live your life with. So I try to stress that with my students now, that ultimately it's about authenticity and making sure that you sincerely believe in what it is that you're doing. You know, the other thing that I tell students sometimes is, it's a bit morbid, but I always say it's important to have vision, because people who don't have vision, you may have talent, but other people who have vision will use your talent in order to realize their vision. So I say, you have to imagine it's like your last day on earth, right? You're on that deathbed and you're surrounded by your family. When you look back at your time on the planet, what is it that you're going to be proud of? And when I use that as my filter, it gives me such energy, such drive, and such clarity in life. So I think that's another really good bit of advice that helps people.
Do you ever play any Bobby Hutcherson music, like Little B's Poem, for instance, going back to the early days when he was kind of setting trends?
Sure, from time to time those pieces come up. And in fact, there's a piece on Sonic Creed that's called Now, which is one of the most beautiful pieces I've ever heard in music. And it was written by Bobby Hutcherson, so I decided to pay tribute to him by recording that piece. But again, if you listen to Bobby's version and you listen to Blackout's version, mm-hmm. completely different in a way that I think Bobby would be really, really proud of.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Lounges. You're listening to Midwest Beats here on Lakeshore Public Radio. My guest today, Stefan Harris, band leader, vibraphonist, and closing guest at the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Festival. That's starting on Monday, April 1st, and going through April 5th, when Stefan and his group Blackout will be closing the show. Paying tribute to one of his mentors there, Bobby Hutchinson, and a tune called Now, written by Bobby, but sounding completely different. Stefan, as you mentioned, there's no point in just covering a song if you can't put your own fingerprints on it. Is that something that you like to stress when you're teaching as well, as an educator?
Yeah, exactly. The only thing I tell my students is, you know, Charlie Parker and Charles Mingus and Bill Evans, they were pretty good, right? They did a good job documenting their world, so you might want to move on to documenting your world instead.
That said, working with so many young people, and this is my final question because I appreciate all the time you've given me, jazz is perhaps the most indigenous of American music styles. Jazz has always been here. Blues right behind it, but jazz in particular. There's less and less jazz clubs, it seems. There's less importance put on jazz by the general public as we get enveloped in all these other styles of music and popular trends. What do you see as the future of jazz, working with all these young talents? Is it going to come back to what it used to be? Are there still enough young people embracing this music?
Well, first of all, I hope it never goes backwards.
Okay.
I think that life always moves forward, and it will evolve into something completely different, and hopefully it will evolve into something that is a reflection of the times in which an artist resides. So, for me, I think that it has a lot to do with vision and understanding the purpose of art in our society. Once art, particularly jazz, was introduced to the institution, in many ways the music was allowed into the institution, but not the culture. And the culture of the music is what, where its true value actually lives. Jazz, from a scientific perspective, is amazing, but it's, you know, C minor 11 is the same that Beethoven used and Duke Ellington. It, styles don't really matter. The real magic is that embedded in the DNA of jazz is this concept of disparate voices finding a way to come together to create beauty. And as long as our planet is getting smaller, that's a very, very pertinent issue. But we have to lead with that as a society of musicians. It can't just be about abstract creative ideas. We have to create music that serves a need in our society. And right now, I feel that I'm holding on to my optimism, and I believe that fundamentally people care about one another. There's fear sometimes that separates us, but ultimately, I think people would prefer peace and prefer to be together, but that's not easy to do. I think jazz provides a platform and a narrative for us to help understand how to do that. And if we lead with that, we're going to be culturally relevant.
Very good. Well said. Stefan Harris is our guest here on Midwest Beat at Lakeshore Public Radio. He's a musician, educator, a thought leader. He will be performing and doing a public masterclass prior to the concert, and that's at Valparaiso University, presented by the Valparaiso University Friends of Jazz on Friday, April 5th. It's a 7:30 concert. Our very own Marco Villarreal Quartet. Marco's been a guest here on this program. He will be opening up the show, and I think you need to get there early and stay late because we're going to have a great time as we wrap up the final day of the 34th annual Valparaiso University Jazz Fest. Stefan, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate the support.
My final song I'm going to play here is Let's Take a Trip to the Sky, because I think that's just a perfect way to end, and it's one of my favorite songs on the album. Is there a story behind this one?
Absolutely. That's a story that I wrote for my amazing wife of almost 19 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, I wrote that after our 10th anniversary. I was on the road and just thinking about her, and I wanted to write a piece of music that was about nurturing and taking care of our love. Her name is Shanae.
All right. This is going out to Shanae, then. We're going to close out the show, dedicate this song to her. Thank you, sir. We'll see you when you get here to Valparaiso.
All right. Be well.
All right. Bye-bye. Keep up with Stefan Harris at stefanharris.com, and here's Let's Take a Trip to the Sky.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Let's take a trip to the sky.
You're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, a place where you can find anything. This show in particular, Midwest Beat, unlike a lot of stations that are very formulated, very cookie cutter, if you will, on this show, our guests have ranged from famous authors like Catherine Lanigan, who gave us Romancing the Stone back in the 1980s, to best-selling New York Times author James Patterson. Both have been guests on this show. We've talked to rockers like Alice Cooper, Foghat, Paul Rodgers, blues artists like Shamika Copeland, Cashbox Kings, and of course, great actors as well, like Jeff Daniels, who's one of the hot items right now, and the legendary Ed Asner. All of them have been featured as my guests on this show. We've even had some of the great late icons of music, like Paul Revere of Paul Revere and the Raiders, had one of his last interviews with me on this show. Larry Coryell, one of the great jazz masters, sadly shuffled off this mortal coil a while back, but not before talking and being our guest here to talk about his career. And of course, one of my favorite interviews of all time here on Midwest Beat was that with David Bowie. What I'm saying is that this is the place you can go to hear so much. It's a broad menu. It's a smorgasbord, a buffet, if you will, of the arts. At least my show is. And, of course, all the syndicated shows, all the news. You hear both sides. And that's why it's important that we ask you to pledge and keep this show and keep all the great shows and the news reporting that Sharon brings on a local end and All Things Considered brings on a national end. Keep it alive. Keep it here in the region. Northwest Indiana needs this kind of station. This is one of the reasons I left commercial radio and came here, was because of the, I really believe in what we're doing here. And Dee Dotson is sitting here with me. And hi, Dee.
Hey, Tom.
I think we should tell them why it's important and how they can keep this going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I just wanted to tell, first of all, Tom, I stopped by because I really enjoyed that last song.
Wasn't that beautiful?
Oh, my goodness.
It was called Take a Trip to the Sky. He wrote it for his wife on their anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that romantic for their 10th anniversary?
I'm getting like goosebumps just even thinking about it. Like, wow. I wish my husband would do something like that. I think
I would do that for mine, except, you know, I don't know how to write music.
Right. Well, just pass off that song. But I really also wanted to stop by to just let your listeners know that right now we are in the last day of our spring membership drive. What that means is, like you just shared with us, Tom, that if our listeners continue to support Lakeshore Public Radio, we can continue to bring you great music, like the Town Lounges show. We can continue to bring you great information on restaurants with Chef Let's Eat with Chef Nick.
Coming up
in what, about an hour and a half?
Yeah.
All Things Considered, you've talked about that. And, of course, my favorite show, not that I'm being partial, but my favorite show, regionally speaking, which we hear every Monday through Thursday right here at noon. Mm-hmm. All we need our listeners to do right now is go to our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org/give, click on the white donate button, or dial 877-910-8989. Now, Tom, I want to tell you about some of the really cool thank you gifts that we have going right now.
I was just going to ask you, what do they get if they help us up?
Wow. Well, if our sustainers go ahead and if our listeners give us a call, become sustaining members at the $10 level, Tom, this is at the $10 level, they'll get a really cool Black Radio Nerd t-shirt, which is really, really cool. And at the $20 level, check out my hoodie.
I'm looking
Jose,
at it.
Jose, do you see my hoodie? At the $20 level, and we need these hoodies right now with this weather, with the weather that we have, they'll get a cool Radio Nerd hoodie. But also, we have to thank all of our partners that have decided that they believe in public radio. They have partnered with us throughout the week. And in addition to those pretty cool thank you gifts, we will have a drawing for 5 listeners today that will win a pretty cool NPR or Lakeshore Public Radio bundle. And in that bundle, we have pretty cool NPR gifts, pretty cool NPR swag, also a pair of tickets to the Valparaiso University Jazz Fest.
And that's who you just heard here with Stephon Harris. You'll see him.
That's like the hottest ticket in town right now, by the way. But then also a pair of tickets to see Sleeping Beauty, which will be at Lake Central High School. So that's pretty cool. And then, it gets better. Guess what else they'll win, Tom?
This is like a Popeil commercial.
I know.
And there's something else.
It gets better.
Don't stop there.
It gets better.
How does it get better, Dee?
It gets better. Well, so the baseball season, Major League Baseball season, kicked off yesterday. Mm-hmm. And our partners over at Geary Wildcats gave us some tickets. And so Five lucky listeners will also, five lucky donors, I should say, will also be entered into a raffle to win tickets to go and check out the Gary Railcats this summer.
Wow. I haven't been to a Gary South Shore Railcats game in a long time.
Oh, Tom, I love
I think
that
I
park.
Need to sign up and be a sustaining member, and maybe I'll get a chance to go see the ballpark.
Absolutely. You should sign up just for that. Well, you should sign up because you are, of course, a supporter of Lakeshore Public Radio, but why not enjoy a cool thank you gift at the same time?
Why not? That's what I say. Why not? Jose has been working here now for how long, Jose?
Well, I think I've been working here for... I just had this conversation with Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operations.
Our fearless leader.
Fearless leader. And honestly, I feel like I've been here forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been with me now for... well over a year.
Yeah, I think almost.
Tom, you didn't want me.
Years.
You wanted Jose, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, I didn't say that. I was delegated Jose, but I will take you as a fill-in anytime he can't make it. And I know he travels a lot.
So. I do. I'm trying.
So you get all this great talent here. We've got all the great local talent. Do you have a little show that you do about the news? Tell us about that.
Absolutely. I do a weekly show, a weekly
podcast.
Is it
like a recap?
It is. It's a weekly podcast called Lakeshore Update, where I do a weekly recap of all of the local, state, and national news that is important to our listeners right here on Lakeshore Radio. Lakeshore Public Radio. And that's what I was working on mm-hmm. when I heard that lovely song and decided I needed to run in and just chat with you guys for a minute.
And good reason, because we need to get some support. And again, you can help keep all of this alive. Keep Chris Nolte and Sharon Jackson reporting on a daily basis all the things that impact your life here in the region. And then if you miss it, Dee'll recap it for you. And you can help keep all this alive and well at 89.1 FM by getting online at lakeshorepublicradio.org/give, or right. /give. Or you can call them at 877-910-8989. If you love what we're doing here, if you love hearing artists like Stefan Harris, and you love listening to interviews with people like James Patterson or Paul Rogers or Ted Nugent or any of these great players that we bring into the studio sometimes, Ides of March, Chicago Icons, they were literally in the studio, the entire band, in here about a year ago celebrating their 50th anniversary by playing a concert on the air right here in Maryville, Indiana, where we're based, for the entire world to hear online at lakeshorepublicradio.org, where you can stream us, even if you go on vacation. So even though you're donating and you're local, if you go on vacation, you travel for business, you can Absolutely. Always take us with you because we fit real easy into their suitcases.
Absolutely, with the NPR app. Tom, I did want to share with your listeners because you have a core group of listeners that follow you no matter where they are.
I always look over my shoulder because I feel them behind
me. They follow you. They call all of the time. They really, really love you. And they stop me when they see me in the streets with my Radio Nerd hoodie and they say, oh, do you know Tom Lounges? And I say, yeah.
Same here, actually. I also get it all the time.
I know.
I was like, I actually
It's funny.
Know.
They stop me and say, do you know Jose and Dee? And I say, I do. And I know Tom Maloney, too. And Sharon Jackson and Nick Nolte. It's like there's this fan base of nerds. I like
public
it. And
radio
we say
nerds.
That we say that with love because being Absolutely. A public radio nerd is an honor to us.
And we're proud, too.
I'm proud mm-hmm. to be a public radio nerd. But you know what, Tom? I really wanted to share with everyone that because not a lot of people understand the financial model for public radio. And I'll just sum it up in just these few words. We rely on our listeners so much so Tom, our VP of radio, kind of described the pie. So if you take a pie and you cut it into thirds, we rely on our listener support for one third of our overall budget. So if you think about a pie, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if we got 75% of your listeners to contribute to that one third of the pie for our overall budget, we would be more than grateful.
Wow. Well, come on. There's your challenge, people. If you love this show, and again, not just the Friday show, but also the Tuesday night show from 7 to 8, which is more of a focus on music. Friday show is a focus on any entertainment form, although we do a lot of music, too. If you like what you're hearing, and you like being turned on to some of these great artists, and getting to hear them first before you have to go out and buy the records or buy the concert tickets, if you like the local artist support that we do, like last week with Marvin, another great jazz group that's playing tonight at the Hobart Art Theater, along with District 97. Both of those artists were here on the show last Friday. In fact, we repeated them because if it's an artist we really believe in, sometimes we give them an encore broadcast. So you, if you missed it in the afternoon, you'll hear it in the evening. If you missed it in the evening, you might hear it in the afternoon because that's the way we roll. We want to make sure the information gets to you. And again, that's why Dee does the recaps on all the big headlines in case you miss it. We want to make sure you stay informed on everything going on here in the region.
And I just want to say, like, there is such overwhelming talent that goes in and out of these doors
Absolutely.
Every single day. And I'm not just talking about, like, the guests that we have, like, mm-hmm. Dee, like, you, Tom Lounges, like, everyone here that works on a show.
Oh, we're talent, Tom.
Is just
we are.
100%, like, 24-7, like, I see you guys stress, like, happy stress, and you guys are passionate about what you do.
You see me slide into my seat seconds before the show.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to say that on the air.
I live on the adrenaline. And anyone that's ever worked with me in radio.
And it's
knows
always
that.
Professional. Always, no matter when you come
I
in,
don't
100%
even
professional.
Pant. I'm running down the hall. Okay, stop. Okay, here we go. And now.
Hey, so listen, do you guys remember your favorite late night talk show? And the host, he used to always come up with this top 10 list. Top 10
oh,
favorite
Letterman.
Shows. Well, yeah, him. Well, I came up with a top 10 list of reasons that people don't pledge. And I won't bore you guys with all of the reasons, but I just wanted to give you a few
What's
of the reasons.
What's your top three?
My top three. Okay, number one, I didn't know you needed the money. We've already gone over
We've
that.
We've established that. We need it.
We really need the money. So go ahead and give us a call and go online.
Picture me right now. Close your eyes. Picture me in your mind's eye with a tin cup in my hand wearing a Radio Nerd t-shirt. There, keep that thought and then donate.
There you go. Here's another reason, Tom. And Jose, listen to this. I can't afford to make a pledge. People actually give this as a reason to make a pledge. Well, Carl, our membership manager, did the math, right?
Mm-hmm.
For a level, a $10 month level, sustaining member level, that comes out to about 30 cents a day. I think all of us in this room can afford 30 cents a day. So I think that we probably have to stop using that reason or that excuse that we can't afford to pledge because we, I believe
right.
we can't afford to pledge. Here is my... The number 10 reason on my list, I can't remember the number to call. Well, let's give them the number to call.
Give it to them, Dee.
877-910-8989. Jose, give them the website.
And the website is lakeshorepublicradio.org/give. And remember to click the white donate button and then really easy after that point.
it'll walk you right through
it's
it.
It's not rocket science. And if you really want to donate and you really want to help us out, and if you listen, like, even not even daily, if you listen, like, once in a while, like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I love Lakeshore, be a part of the cult following that is Lakeshore Public Radio.
That's right.
And
it's,
if you follow
cool.
us on Facebook, too, the TV department has been doing some fantastic work.
Like, absolutely.
Funny stuff. We have some funny stuff on there, too. But they've been helping us definitely with this spring membership drive. And
absolutely. You know what I told Tom, our VP of radio operations? I said, Tom, you should look at the $10 level, sustaining level, as an actual sacrifice of one cup of your favorite specialty coffee a day. How many of us should actually give up at least one cup of coffee?
It's healthier.
Well, not
for
a
you.
Day. I'm sorry, not a day.
A week.
A month. No, 1 month.
A month.
If you go to some of these specialty coffee places, you're spending $9-$10 for a small. Jose, you know,
mm-hmm. having worked at a coffee place,
you,
I won't
you
mention
work
which.
At a fancy
but...
coffee place, so you know what the cost of coffee is. So giving up one cup of coffee for 1 month. At $10, I don't think that's a big sacrifice.
Or an even a better example, too, is like I pay for Netflix, I pay for Hulu. Like,
yeah.
For $10, which is like the same as like Netflix nowadays,
well, those
I could be helping.
Are more than $10 a month, actually.
It's getting up there, yep. But
check
I can,
bill.
For the same amount, I can be helping like my local radio station that I listen
Absolutely.
To every day.
Absolutely. And we have to also remember, you know, we do have another public radio station that's in our shadows. It's a much bigger radio station,
mm-hmm.
much bigger public radio station. But the great thing about Lakeshore Public Radio is that we are public radio for right here in the region. We bring the region stories. We bring the region story makers. We bring the region influencers right here into our studio. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, there is another public radio station across the way. just across Lake Michigan, but we are Lakeshore Public Radio. We are for the region.
Lots of different programming. There's NPR stations all across the country, hence the title National Public Radio. Right. But each one is district in covering their region and their locality. And we serve you, Northwest Indiana. Yeah, you'll get the Chicago news and the other stuff from us, too. But Northwest Indiana is our focus. Right. And you need that because no one else is going to give it to you.
Right. So you guys were not here. This is just to show you how important Lakeshore Public Radio is to the region. You guys weren't here, but I think it was two weeks ago, we had, I say, the honor and privilege of having Hammond Mayor Thomas McDermott here in studio with us during my favorite show, Regionally Speaking. You're not going to get a conversation like that, an intimate 30-minute conversation like that, at that other public radio station in Chicago. And I will tell you guys that while he was here, he was a little coy at the beginning, but at the end...
Really? Mayor Tom was coy?
He's a little coy at the beginning. He did share great information about all of the things that are happening in his city, all of the bills that are on the House floor regarding that affect his constituents. But at the end of that conversation, guys, guess what? He gave us a little bit of a clue into what his political future will look like statewide. You know, we all speculate that maybe he will run for this office or that office. But
so he gave you a sneak peek, huh?
He did,
in
fact,
get the cat out of the bag.
Yes, he did, and you won't hear that.
I was like, that's
at
only
any
here,
other
too.
Public radio station, only and, here.
Yeah, you know, he's also been a guest on Midwest Beat with me, where he's talked about all the wonderful talent that he brings to the Festival of the Lakes.
Oh, I love it, and so, we partners, and he partners with Lakeshore Public Radio.
Did you guys see this year's who they announced for the festival?
I have heard Nelly.
I have not. Well,
I've only heard Nelly so far.
Nelly.
Oh,
yes.
Nelly. Oh, wow.
Mr.
Are there other
drop
ones?
Down? Get your eagle on, girl, Nelly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I love.
Isn't he the guy that did "It's Hot in Here"?
Yeah,
that's the one I used to play.
All right, Tom, you kind of.
Also, Three Doors Down is going to be there this year.
I've had those guys on this show three times. I know those guys.
Three times.
Yeah, three doors, three times.
Wow.
Power of three.
They only.
There
do
you
it.
Go.
Well, guess
three.
What?
Citizen Soldier.
Well, guess
Kryptonite.
What? They'll be coming back. It'll be a fourth time because I'm pretty sure you're going to have them on Midwest Beat.
I imagine we will.
Only here on what? Lakeshore Public Radio.
They're going to have to change their name now.
Absolutely. Four doors down.
Four doors.
Four open. Times at Tom's door. LakeshorePublicRadio.org/give. Push the white donate button. $10 a month. You can win all this cool stuff. Five listeners, five donors will be drawn to win a NPR or Lakeshore bundle, along with the pair of tickets to Sleeping Beauty in Merrillville, as well as a pair of tickets to the big VU Jazz Fest, 34th annual Valparaiso Jazz Fest. And it starts on Monday, April 1st, and runs all the way through April 5th, which is Friday, with a closing show by Stefan Harris and Blackout, who I had as my guest for the first 90 minutes or so of this show. And I did promise to play you a song from a regional talent, and again, this guy is born and raised right here in the region. He has traveled around the country. He has recorded with a lot of top artists, and he's going to be there opening for Stefan. I do believe this is his first time at the VU Jazz Fest, and all I've got to say is it makes me proud to come from a region that can give us talent like Marco Villarreal. This is Marco, and Spurious Intellectualism. Love that.
Thank you.
Talent. From right here in the region, Marco Villarreal out of Hobart, Indiana. And what an amazing talent he is. And he'll be opening up for our guests today on today's show, Stefan Harris and Blackout. They will be closing out the five-day jazz festival at the Valparaiso University campus. 34th Valpo University Jazz Fest, created by Mr. Jeffrey Brown. And we're going to play something before we leave from his group in just a moment. But I do want to remind you that the Jazz Fest, like our station, supports the region. And it always opens up. The first 2 days feature local high school jazz bands and ensembles. Monday, April 1st, it kicks off at 6 p.m. There's going to be a variety of different local high schools. I think 10 schools from the region are going to be represented over those 2 days. Also on Tuesday, they'll be having different ensembles from Chicago. The Jazz Fest Big Band Fest happens as well on Wednesday, and that features the Northwest Indiana Jazz Educators Big Band. And what that is, you get all these different educators from the different high schools, and they're all friends with Jeff Brown, and they get together, and as I understand it, they rehearse one time. Now, these are all talented players in their own right, but they don't play as a group except at this event. So the Northwest Indiana Jazz Educators Big Band get together, get an idea what they want to do, and then they kind of improvise and play together. Midwest Big Band will be there. The Calumet Ridge Jazz Ensemble, featuring my good friend Andy Sutton, who is also very involved in the blues and rock scene out here. They'll all be playing on Wednesday. And again, it's all at the Harry Union Ballroom, all of these shows. And it's a great time to come out and explore all the music from right here in Northwest Indiana. Also on that day, you'll get the VU Faculty Jazz Trio. That is the Valparaiso University Faculty Jazz Trio. They have the honor of having been on every single year of the Jazz Fest. They were the first band to play back in 1985, and they have been there every year, including this year. So I think we'll close out with a track from their album. This is off their latest album. This is the VU Faculty Jazz Trio, Professors from VU, and a song called Bossa Real. And thank you much for listening, and please remember to pledge at lakeshorepublicradio.org/give. Press the white button or call 877-910-8989 and support the Jazz Fest. It starts Monday, April 1st, runs through Friday, April 5th. Here's the Jazz Faculty Trio. Enjoy. Adios.